welcome to Two Modern Mystics with your co-hosts, Dawn Fleming and Linda Roebuck, who are here to offer you a deeper perspective of what is really going on and how you can disconnect from the chaos and plug into a higher consciousness.
Welcome to Two Modern Mystics. I am Dawn Fleming, and I feel so blessed that you are joining us today and opening to your inner mystic. And I'm just really excited that we have our angel lady, Jane Howard Feldman, with us today to share how we can work with the angels. But before we get started, I want to introduce my co-host, Linda Roebuck. Linda is my good friend. She's a Reiki master, a counselor, an alchemist. And I have just really enjoyed watching Linda share and expand her light all over this beautiful planet and making a difference in the lives of others. And it is my honor to be working with her. Hello, Linda.
Hello, Dawn, and thank you so much. I love doing this show with you. And, you know, we have been doing teaching and planning and conducting workshops and so forth over the years. I was thinking it's been about 25 years that we've known each other and worked together. And so I really do know that you are a manifester. And from some deep within me, something says, you know how to manifest, and I know you know how to work with angels. And again, I am so excited that we're going to be talking about angels today. And I would be so happy if you would introduce today's guest so people get to know her, because I know you've known her, Jane, for a number of years. So I'm going to sit back and just get excited here. Okay.
I know, and I know we've both been working with angels, and it's a topic that's, you know, really a lot of people are interested. They maybe think that they've worked with them or they would like to work with them, and I really believe that anyone can work with the angels. So I'm going to introduce our guest so she can tell us how to do it. I'm really honored to introduce Reverend Jane Howard Feldman. I've known Jane for many years, and I've hosted her at my home for workshops when I lived in Maryland. And I'll tell you, the energy and experience she creates is just amazing. So Jane is the author of Commune with the Angels, Driving Under the Influence of Angels, and Angels by My Side. She is an inspirational speaker and frequent presenter at international conferences, spreading the message of peace on earth and sharing ways to achieve peace in our lives and in our communities. Jane's story has been told on numerous television programs, including Connie Chung's Eye to Eye. Jane has been on radio programs and has been interviewed by several magazines, including Life, Time, and the Washington Post. She is featured in the video Opening to Angels. Jane is an interfaith minister, a Reiki master, a spiritual director. She even leads angel tours to visit sacred sites and natural wonders around the world. Jane, it is so nice to have you with us today. Hello.
Hello, and thank you both for inviting me to be on your program.
I am, again, excited to get going. So I would like to know about your first experience with the world of angels. Could you share a little bit about that?
Thank you. Thank you for asking me that. There's a beautiful quote from the movie Camelot, where King Arthur makes a statement, "I stumbled upon my own destiny." And that's very much what happened for me when I was 11 years old. I was resting in my bed. I was not asleep. I was awake. And I saw light pouring into my bedroom. And the light that poured from a corner of the room and started shape-shifting itself, shape-shifted into the form of a light being that I would come to know as my own guardian angel. There were no words spoken as I am speaking to your listeners, English, for example. It was what I call the language of the heart. And this is a language that we have not only with angels, but I know all who have pets. You understand that when you come home, you have your little dog wagging its tail and it does not speak, but it conveys with a heart language how happy it is to see you. And my guardian angel made known to me that its presence was going to be with me and that would be working with me and connecting with me. And that was the opening. Interesting enough, years later, I would come across the book by Godfrey Hodgson, and he had an artist depict, draw his experience, and it was the exact same image that I had had, that I experienced, a canopy of light that shape-shifted itself over my bed and then formed into what I call a light being, a divine messenger.
Wow, wow. So as a child, Jane, how did your connection to the angels help you in your everyday life? Because I can't imagine as a child just having this amazing connection. And did you ever feel that you were different from the rest of the world due to your connection to the angels?
Well, how it affected me, it did. It gave me direction. And that may sound strange, but what we all do is we seek validation. We seek to find out, was that experience, you know, is something, am I a lunatic or am I crazy? And I noticed that no one else was sharing experiences. And I don't know how to explain it, but we have this inner sensing of what to share and what not to share, or when it is the time to share or when it's not the time to share. Mm-hmm. And I knew that no one else was experiencing this or sharing that they were experiencing. So it gave me the direction to begin a quest of something that I came to realize that one of my heart's passion in this life is research. I love to delve into things. And so I became a researcher of the angelic kingdom. And the core reason was that I wanted to know, was anyone else there having experiences? Had anyone else had experience? And the great joy of doing this research and delving in is, first of all, I turned to the Bible and there were numerous references to the angelic kingdom that I hadn't really taken seriously until I had this personal experience. And then in time, I was guided to the Theosophical Society and, of course, the Edgar Cayce Association, but just libraries, wanting to find out what people had written about experiences with the angels.
Mm-hmm. You know, as you're sharing that and you're kind of sharing your evolution, and in your adult life, how do the angels continue to help you in your daily life now?
The way they help me is the way they help all of us. And I do want to make all your listeners know that I don't in any way feel I am more special than anyone else. All of us have angels in our lives. I refer to them as their angel team. And I call them God's cosmic cheerleaders. And they inspire us. They inspire us by maybe giving clues, signs and signals that we're on the right path, or giving us inspirations. For my own life, I'm given angelic assignments, and the assignments are to bring things up. For example, I was given the message by the angelic kingdom that food will sustain us as a human being, but the arts inspire us to be divine. And so the art energy is an important part of my service to encourage people to have their schools, keep art in your schools for the children because it keeps the creativity alive. Take yourself or children and grandchildren to museums and to concerts and, you know, read poetry. The importance of the art vibration. Jose Argalos years ago wrote that if you took the letters from art, A-R-T, it can stand for a radical transformation. Other people have said if you take art out of the word earth, E-A-R-T-H, you've just got the energy. So part of my work is to encourage people to see that you have within you this artisan energy, and the angels are in our lives kind of like muses. They encourage us to awaken it, to activate it, to dance with it, to play with it, to do something that honors your own inner creativity.
Wow. And I'm all in alignment with that message, because I just feel like we get into our daily work, but the art really reconnects us back with some kind of innate spirit within us and helps that energy to expand in all areas of our life. I really love that.
Dawn, may I just say one thing? I agree totally with that. And it brings, when you said it brings back to that energy, God, source creator, whatever word we give to God, God is a creator. It's all about creation. We have that ability within us. And when we attune to it, we are embracing what I call our divine identity. It's not blasphemous. It actually glorifies God. It exalts God when we own those gifts and those talents that are inside of each of us.
Yeah, that is so true. And I just would feel lost if I didn't have that creative expression, creative connection. And that may be, you know, kind of what some of the issues are on the planet with what's going on. So when you were young, what, you know, here you are, you're 11 years old, and then you're getting ready to go into your teens. What did you want to be when you grew up, and how has this related to who you are today?
I want to just, first of all, recognize my mother and father. They were farmers their entire lives. I grew up on a farm that was actually the second oldest farm of continuous family ownership in the state of Maryland. So there was this commitment, this legacy commitment to the land, being guardians and stewards to the lands. And so I came into recognizing early on that we are guardian and stewards of our lives. We're a guardian and stewards of the time we're given, the energy we're given, and to be respectful of that, you know, not to be wasteful with that energy. And I knew early on that I wanted to help people because just helping, you know, helping on the farm, helping make my parents, you know, they were hard workers, to help do what I could do. And so I kind of had a knowingness that I was there in some way to be support. And then when I got introduced to the angelic kingdom early on, 11, and then really doing the research, I found that's exactly what the angels are. They are messengers of God's support in our lives. And it guided me. It guided me to do things such as become an interfaith minister, you know, to work in service where I was able to be spiritual support to people, you know, to be hopeful support, to encourage people to keep hope. So early on, there was this observation of my parents fulfilling their mission and purpose. So I always thank my parents for their work ethic, not to waste time, as I said, to see each day as a new opportunity. And so I carried that with me, you know, for my own personal calling.
I think that type of understanding that and honoring of our ancestors and of your parents really helps us so much to get in touch with the truth of who we are. And I love that they kind of pointed you to be guardian, steward of what's going on in your life now and to kind of carry on that legacy. I'm also wondering that in your working with angels, was there ever a particular experience that you'd like to share that maybe brought you to a deeper understanding of yourself, of your life and your purpose?
I thank you, Linda, for asking me that, because I don't want people to think that I just am always comfortable with everything. I always say a lot of times I go kicking and screaming, you know, with assignments. And the one that comes to mind is I had worked in corporate. I had worked for a number of years as, talking about support, I was administrative assistant, secretary, whatever you want to call it, the energy for a man that ran a big advertising agency and the energy. And the great thing I got to do, I got to develop promotions at shopping centers and malls. So I would be able to do things that would bring joy to people or make them happy in activities. And I was comfy in that. You know, my benefits were, you know, I had a paycheck every week or I had my benefits covered. And I was definitely guided by spirit. I was given a message by Archangel Michael that it was time to now leave that world and to work full time, you know, in the company of angels. And I was scared. I was frightened. Mm-hmm. And the energies of that, in fact, I was doing a lecture at a conference that honored Archangel Michael and, you know, the service of the angels, how they serve God. It was in Calgary, Canada. And while someone was speaking about Michael, the woman next to me said, "You just got something, didn't you?" And I said, "You're exactly right." Archangel Michael just kind of morphed himself over top of me and just said, "The time is now. You will leave on 555 will be your last day." That's the inspiration I was being given. And maybe your listeners know that Archangel Michael's vibration attunes to the number 555. 555. When you say 55 or 555, it's Michael's energy is vibrating around you. Well, then I was not like real abundant about that it was so soon that I was going to be leaving. You know, we'd like to have all our ducks lined up, whatever that means. And so I was continuing to get messages. And one night I was watching a program on PBS and a judge, it actually was a story, I think, about the witches of Salem, believe it or not, the crucible type of story. And the judge looked out to the TV screen as if he was looking at me, and he said, on May 5th, you will die. All right, the energy. And I knew it was the death of the old Janie and the birth of the new Janie. The very next day, I went into my boss and I said, May 5th will be my last day. And, you know, and he said, he knew it was coming. He had a sensing that, you know, I was going to be leaving. And so the energy, I said, I'm leaving for no other. He said, why are you leaving? He wanted to know a reason. I said, I'm leaving for no other reason than it is time. It is time for me to go on and do the second work. I went to the mailbox, the post office. I picked up the company mail. It happened to be that I also, the same post office is where I get my mail. And there was a newspaper article that had been done on me before I went to Calgary, Canada. And I opened up the Sun paper, and the headline, that I had never seen this article, had nothing to do with the headline. It says, Company of Angels is Woman's Employer. I went back to my boss. I put it on his desk, and I said, it's in print, you know. I said, you know, and he just, again, I'm not going to say what he said. It was like, oh, you know, blank. All right, but the energy was like, holy cow, with the vibration. That was like a heavenly confirmation that I had, you know, I had overcome my fears. I was terribly, I'm going to tell you, you know, the first months I was on my own. If you had told me to sell apples on the side of the corner, I would, because I was fearful that I wouldn't make it. All right, that's our own stuff. But spirit walked me through it. I have to thank God. The grace of God got me through that transition.
That is such a beautiful story, and I don't know. I had never made the connection with 555 in Archangel Michael's energy, because I'm thinking, I usually say that's my number because I was born at 5:55 a.m.
Oh, you've got such a blessing of Michael.
Astrologically. And my first name has five letters. And anyway, that's so cool to me to know that. And
I would have just had one little thing. I heard a PBS program on the radio, and it was a botanist who was talking about the Fibonacci numbers, and he actually said that the Michael Mass Aster, the flower, has a vibration of 555, and I have no idea what that means in botany, but I just like thought, okay, that's just another confirmation.
Well, wow. I'm taking a giant step in my life right now, for me, with a change, and I think you just gave me my sign that I never realized. So, thank you.
Oh, blessings to you.
Well, it's amazing, and I'm so happy you shared that experience and the experience that you had when you were younger, because a lot of times people are having these types of experiences and are ignoring it, or they're asking for a message, and then they receive it, and they, like, discount it. And I just remember when I really began on this path, because I was kind of raised in a fundamentalist Christian background, and I was praying on whether or not I should get into this energy healing. Back then it was chakra balancing, because, you know, from where I was raised, it was kind of like perceived as, you know, not a good thing. And I prayed like every night to show me a sign. Aww. And one night I was in my bedroom and the whole room lit up, just like you said, the canopy of light.
Right.
And I felt one with it, and I felt like my body was merging with this light. And so when it was over, when the light retracted, I went around the house looking for what could have created that light, and I finally came to the conclusion that that was my message, that I was definitely supposed to move into this area of working with energy and working with people in that way. So we really have to pay attention when we get the messages and act on them. Maybe, you know, it doesn't come like in our regular form, like an email or a phone call, but this is Spirit's way of really telling us and leading us, and we really need to listen. We're asking, so we need to listen and respond accordingly. So that was really brave of you to step out, and how beautiful in the newspaper to have that headline. A really wonderful confirmation. So, and I just want to say, a lot of times, you know, children, they're the ones seeing the angels, and they talk about it. Both my daughters saw the angels and talked about it all the time. And I think if we can just allow and nurture that in children, what a great experience and what great company they can have as they go forward. After a while, you know, they were kind of judged by their friends of it being weird, so they kind of let go of that connection. So Jane, many people, they see guides and guardian angels as being either very similar or different. So how do you see these?
I feel, as I mentioned, I believe we have an angel team, and it's made up. We have so much support. I think one of the things I run across with people, again, they'll say, you know, do I have a guardian angel? You know, it's almost like, oh, you know, did everyone else get one and I didn't? Everyone has so much support from God, and that includes spirit guides and guardians. There's energies of beings that, you know, kind of lived a life before, and that they are an energy of light, and they're very supportive of perhaps the career that you're in. It could be a scientist or someone who wants to bless you because you're really continuing the work that that individual was working on. And so there can be spirit guides, there can be people such as Native American protectors that are watched over you. The angels are their own separate kingdom. They can become human. They can really, because they're messengers of God, they can take any form and shape. They can morph into, if someone needs to have, you know, a little dog in their life, they can become the energy that directs that dog onto your front porch and to help you. So they're not, they don't always have to be in the shape of an individual or a being of light. They can come in as messages on the sides of trucks. I always say the angel DJs play songs. So we have so much support. You can have animal totems that are symbolic energies. Some people will say that eagle, for example, is their totem. And so they feel this energy, this God energy that created eagles, that gives them this ability to see from way up high, to get this broader perspective. And so part of your team can be the energy of angels. I love Ted Andrews' book, Animals Speak. I always encourage people to get a copy of Ted Andrews' Animals Speak. So when an animal happens, say a little fox runs across your front yard, go reach for that book and find out why fox is making itself known to you. Because that's the spirit guide coming and saying, get to know the fox, and you'll get to know yourself. It's paying attention to what crosses your path. And the angels, they're always in our lives. People will say, oh, I've never had an experience with the angels, and I'm not being unkind. I'm just saying, I doubt that. I think it came in a way that you just didn't recognize it. You haven't yet recognized that that was angelic intervention, because it can be a movement of air. It can be a feeling, a sensation, and it can be a presence, and it can be a word that just pops into your mind, and you're saying, well, that's interesting. I wonder what I'm supposed to do with that word. I say, please, write it down, you know, and then revisit it and just kind of have dialogue with it. Well, what could that? What could be spirit? What could spirit be saying to me? And so just know there's so many gifts, the nature kingdom, the flower essences. We have support in all shapes, sizes, and forms from God.
Mm. Oh, this is kind of fun to know.
I was going to say, you know, all three of us, we do Reiki or energy practices. And I know that when I work with some people, I sometimes sense the presence of their angels or guides or the whole team in the room. Sometimes the whole team shows up. And so, yeah, I definitely go with exactly what you're saying, because I experienced, you know, my clients, sometimes an angel, sometimes a guide, sometimes the whole team showing up to be witness or to help in that energy healing process. So,
well, I have an interesting one that showed up for me this morning, and I saw it last week, so it's twice, and it is a wild turkey.
Right,
on a,
right.
And so I'm thinking, I have Ted Andrews' book. I usually look at this, and I'm thinking that it was like the Earth Eagle. And so the energy of the Earth is really coming up for me right now. And
I want to thank you for being a messenger to me, because my mom and dad were turkey farmers.
Wow.
Oh, my. Maybe this, and I didn't even know.
It will bless you personally. I'm saying it will bless you personally with a message for you, but I also want to just say that's a clear sign of a hello from heaven.
Well, I think it's for both of us. And
isn't that nice?
I love it. And so you're leading me to ask the next question. If a person, you know, really wants to connect with their individual angel, how would you recommend that they begin?
Well, one thing I want to say to all your listeners, you know, I'm going to give my email as part of this, but I have a little booklet that I did called Angelic Resonance, you know, 101 Ways to Attune to the Angels. And if people email me, I will just email them back a copy of it. And so they have ways to connect with the angelic kingdom. And it's not to wait for the angels to show up in your life. Show up in the faithfulness and in the belief of the angelic kingdom. I encourage people, first of all, one thing to do is that you can do this during the week. For example, I'm going to use the archangels, that on Monday you can say, Archangel Michael, what is your message for me? And just be open and just whatever word, symbol, phrase, write it down. Tuesday, Archangel Jophiel, who is the angel of wisdom, what message do you have for me? Wednesday, Archangel Shamuel, the archangel of love and devotion and adoration to God. Thursday, Gabriel, what message do you have for me? Friday, Raphael, what message do you have for me? Saturday, Uriel, the angel of grace. Raphael, we know, is the angel of healing. Uriel is the angel of God's grace. What message do you have for me? And Zachiel, the archangel of freedom, transformation. What message do you have for me? You can do that every day with the archangels for the week. Every day, say to your own personal guardian angel, believe you have an angel. Say to your guardian angel, you know, I'm sharing my day with you. I'm so happy you're here in my life. I'm so happy God has given you to me as a traveling companion to watch over me. Psalm 91 says, God has given the angels charge over thy ways. I mean, that is the message. They are there to protect us and watch over us. Say to your angel, have any insight, any inspiration, anything, and recognize that they might not give it to you just in that moment, but then throughout the day, be paying attention to what they give to you. There's also a beautiful ritual. I encourage people that if, for example, my birthday happens to be the 31st day of the month of January, but during each month, wherever the day falls, the 31st or the 30th for some months, the Sunday of that day, what I do on the Sunday morning is I open my front door. I open that front door, and I say to the angels, I welcome you into my life. They are always in our life, but it is our energy of saying, I'm doing this. I am consciously opening my life to the world of the angels, and then have a sensing that the heavenly host just comes pouring into your house. And for the next week, when you're eating, sleeping, praying, meditating, not only do you have your angel team that's always with you and your guardian angel, you've got a whole bunch of angels that just came through that front door. And then you'll begin to sense of how that particular week the energy increases. All right, it helps you get a heightened sensitivity to the movement of angels, the presence of angels, the feeling of an increase of heavenly energy in your household. And then on Saturday night, at a time that you choose, you do the ritual of opening the front door and thanking them and asking, giving, blessing them as they go to do God's bidding, wherever God's sending them next. You give thanks for them. It is a consciousness of where you are. If you choose to give your guardian angel a name so that you can say, good morning, you know, whatever name you give to your angel. Good morning, Michael. You know, I'm so happy, you know, that God has, you know, given you the assignment to watch over me, and I'm thankful for you. That you open, I know a lot of people use the angels for their parking spaces. That is, you know, just one of many things. They can help you to find a book that will be beneficial to your research. They will help you to find, I call it the shopping angels, to find the perfect gift that you want to give to honor someone. Share your life with the angelic kingdom. They have been created to be blessings from God in our lives so that we see ourselves as God thoughts. One of my favorite quotes is Albert Einstein's, I want to know God's thoughts. Everything else is detail. We all began as a God thought. The angels hold that thought for God and remind us every day of our lives how precious our life is. It is to be, is the bountiful feast. It is to be savored. It is to be enjoyed. It is to be appreciated. It is to be filled, filled with living our life abundantly, joyously, and with the honoring of the divine in all that we do.
Mm. Well, beautiful. It, as you were talking, I just felt the energy around me because I was tuning into what you were saying as if I was doing what you were saying. And I just felt the energy around me just completely expanding. So thank you so much.
Your listeners will, all right? They're
yeah.
in the energy of the angels. They're all about expansion. There's all about expansion. There's a wonderful light decree if people want to work with Archangel Michael. And it's Michael's light, descend, descend, descend. Michael's light, defend, defend, and defend. And that could be defending against our own ourselves. I always say the one thing the angels protect us from more than anything else is ourselves. So it's Michael's light, descend, descend, descend. Michael's light, defend, defend, defend. Michael's light, expand, expand, expand. Michael's light, command, command, command. And at that point, you can give Archangel Michael, you can say, Michael, I need strength. I'm feeling a little, you know, uncertain. Fortify me with God's energy. And then you can affirm Michael's light. I am, I am, I am. And the light of Michael is the power of God. So you're affirming that you are attuning yourself to God's power.
Wow.
Beautiful.
So, Linda, you've got the next question there.
I thought I did that one.
Oh,
so,
about...
How do you connect with your individual angel?
Mm-hmm. No.
And how would they recommend
I'm sorry,
people
I've got
start?
The next question.
I thought so.
Yes. I just got into that vibration and that expansion.
I know. I did too.
That it just put me in another realm. So let me come back to our agenda here. So, Jane, in general, do you see a particular lesson or challenge that humans are facing? I mean, we talked a little bit before the show about things going on the planet. So if yes, can you give us some insight on how the angels can help us overcome these challenges?
One of the messages, well, just two things I'd like to share. One of the messages Archangel Michael said to me that the Antichrist is on the earth, all right, the vibration. And that's a message of that which is against the Christ consciousness. I'm honoring all religions and all people's faith, but that which is against, you know, our divinity is here. And its name is hopelessness. When we give up hope and believing in ourselves and believing in each other, and most importantly, believing in God, we stop letting God be God. We start letting there be space for the miraculous energies of God and for the power of God and the light, and most importantly, the love of God's energies. I do believe that we are here, and those listening to your wonderful program are Earth Angels of Hope. Yes, you are human beings, but you're here to keep hope alive. You are here to be messengers of faithfulness to God and belief in God. Additionally, the angels once said, you think you know light. I mean, they were teaching me. They said, you have the consciousness of a light of one sun, which is the sun that shines upon us during the day. They said, when you are aware of the consciousness of 10,000 suns, you will begin to have a consciousness of the fullness of light. And in fact, Amazing Grace has the words, when we've been here, 10,000 suns with the energies. So we are here to enhance our consciousness of light, that which is positive, that which is uplifting, that which is inspiring, that which is filled with joy energy. I feel the angels have been given the assignment for us to own the light that is within us. And so we shine. You know, we shine with our laughter, we shine with our eyes, we shine with our caring. It is important for us to do things by which we enhance this light vibration. I'm a big promoter with people when things is to clear your house of clutter. All right, that's, I think that's one reason why there's a big movement around feng shui and decluttering. You go to any magazine rack and you'll see just about every magazine has an article how to organize, how to declutter, how to get rid of. And the reason is it opens up space. It opens up space in our lives. When you take away things and there's empty space, I work with people who are artists, and that when they feel stuck in their creativity, I say, if it is possible, have a room in your house where you move everything out and you just sit in that empty space. Because you've heard the statement, nature abhors a vacuum. Nature will fill it with inspiration. But when there's stuff and junk and unfinished business and things that are saying, hey, you never dealt with me. You bought all this fabric and you never made any dresses. There's all these signals that are going all over the room, and you cannot experience the fullness of your light. You cannot experience the calling that is within you for the new, because there's all the old. So I encourage people to walk through their homes and declutter, or see where there's stagnant energy, you know, with the energy, with the vibration. I will also say to your listeners' office, I have a little booklet, Angelic Feng Shui, 101 Ways to Make Your Home Heaven on Earth. And if people want that, I'll send that to them also. I want to bless people with support as to how to help them clear their space in their lives so they can think, number one, so they can create with the energy, and they can feel more fully the presence of God, and I have to say, the presence of angels that are around them. You know, the energies of, when we accumulate, we start collecting things, after a while, the energy collects us, and it is important to pay attention in our offices, in our cars, in our homes, you know, how we are cluttering, how we are filling the space with that which is not uplifting us and inspiring us and moving us forward, moving us forward.
Wow, thank you. That's so relevant. And I totally agree with that.
And I do too. And I can't even work if there's clutter around. And I love the idea about clearing a room, clearing space in a room
space,
so it's
right.
empty.
At least it's hard. Right. You know, Linda, I know it's hard, like, to clear out a whole room. But once you clear a space in, like, the center of the room, because in Feng Shui, in the Bagua, the center of the room is the health sector. All right. I will share that with people. And so you might have a table, but having it clear, you know, with the energy, having movement. It is. It's a very healthy thing to do to free ourselves of stuff, you know, the energy that has no longer useful and purposeful to our meaningness, to our very beingness.
Oh, that's beautiful. And I was just thinking about Archangel Zadkiel, I believe you said, was
yes.
the angel of freedom.
And
kind of create that free space for more inspiration even. So.
Right.
While we're talking about this, I would love for you to share with our listeners about Be an Angel Day.
It is. This year was like the 23rd annual celebration, and obviously 23 years back, the angels, right after I wrote Commune with the Angels, they said to me, you can't rest on the laurels of having a book. You know, there's something, an assignment went to do. And they actually guided me to go to cemeteries and photograph angel monuments. And I was guided eventually to go to Emmitsburg, where the National Shrine of Our Lady of Lourdes. And as you enter the shrine, there is a cemetery with a statue of a guardian angel with a little child by its side, and the angel's pointing up to heaven to look up to God. And that became, with that image, once I captured it, that became really the photo, the poster image, so to speak, for the first Be an Angel Day. It is the motto for the Angel Day is, be an angel to someone, do one small act of service for someone, be a blessing in someone's life. And it is, we do it annually, and I talk on radio programs, and you know, people do activities around it. It is meant to remind us that really every day of our lives, we have the opportunity to help someone, you know, to do acts of kindness, to remember people, and to be, it could be a visible angel or an invisible angel. And so I love the gift that the angels gave me to be the orchestrator to bring it up into consciousness.
What day is that?
August 22nd. I apologize. I didn't say
that's okay.
The angels chose the date. They chose the date because 8, if you take the number 8 and lay it on its side, is the lemniscape. It's the infinity symbol. So it's infinite love from God. And one form of that infinite love is the angels. And we can be messengers of infinite love. And the 22 is known as the master number. It is the master architect. You're building a bridge between heaven and earth. And that's what the divine wanted for Be an Angel Day. It's a day where we say, well, how can I be like the angels in heaven and bring blessings to people's lives?
Excellent. Thank you so much. So can you tell us what current projects that you have or any future things coming up that we can look forward to seeing from you?
One of the things that I do that I'm very blessed, it's just finished it up for this summer, but there's a spiritual center that's run by Sisters of St. Joseph, who, and I have a great devotion to St. Joseph. They run it in Windsor, New York. So from May to October, there are retreats there on the weekends, and I'm involved in a number, you know, about 8 of the weekends, and I go up, and people come on Friday through Sunday, and it's like a respite from their busy lives. They come, you know, to experience the land is very sacred. It has a wonderful background. And the sisters, oh my gosh, and they pray for everyone and provide nourishing meals and, you know, just sacred space. And so people come to receive inspiration from the angels. So I do a number of workshops up at, it's in Windsor, New York. Additionally, I do every other month, one of the things I greatly love, it's called Divine Dialogue Art Blessing. And people contract with me to have a picture that is chosen for them by the angelic kingdom. It's, say, for example, from a calendar. And then I do a reading, a mini reading, a 15-minute reading, as to why it is pertinent to their lives at this time. So they have this art that they can do open-eyed meditation with. They can listen to the inspiration. And again, that is a continuation of the energies of, you know, the importance of art in our lives. What are we looking at? What do we have in the walls of our house? Or, you know, you can stop and do an open-eyed meditation with an art book, letting yourself be uplifted by the beauty. Or you could go out in nature. I mean, talk about God art. Or going out and looking at the stars. You know, and I recommend to people the Hubble Space Gallery. Their images are, it's a fabulous place to go online to the Hubble and look at the God art from all the Hubble images, one of which people recognize is the Helix Nebulae that's referred to as the Eye of God. So my whole work still is I do classes here in my home, and I do teleclasses. I work with Lucky Sweeney, and we do an astrology, spiritual astrology class once a month. I do an Angel Academy online. So, again, I'm always guided by the angels as to what to offer, and that's what's on the horizon right now.
Gee, I want to take all of it, be involved in all of it. It sounds wonderful. And would you let our listeners know how they can get in touch with you, how they can contact you?
The easiest way is my email. It's Earth, E-A-R-T-H, Angel, A-N-G-E-L, and the number 4, the numeral 4, peace, P-E-A-C-E, at AOL.com. My website is earthangelforpeace.com. But if you want to write me, and I encourage people, I do prayer work every morning and evening with Raphael, the angel of healing, and I have what's called Raphael's guest book, and I'll write your name. You do not have to share with me what's going on. God knows. Just simply say, Janie, would you pray for me? And I will pray for you for 21 days. I do ask after the 21 days, because that's the number that I've been given by the angelic kingdom, that if the situation still warrants that you want additional prayer, just write me again, and I'll be happy to keep you, you know, keep praying for you on the guest book. Also, if people write me at earthangelforpeace@aol.com, and if they would like the little feng shui booklet, you know, it's going to be emailed to them, and if they would like the angelic residence, I'm so thankful that you allowed me to reach out to your listeners, ladies, and I want to bless your listeners, you know, with gifts from the angels and the angelic resonance, and I hope the angelic feng shui will just give people some inspiration or ideas for their life.
Oh, well, this is wonderful information, and I'm taking it in my heart and to heart. So this leads us to the closing of our show with some announcements. I just have one announcement that in the Annapolis area on November the 11th, November the 8th, we'll be having our ACT gathering, and it will be led by Kathy Palmer. We will be doing Dances of Universal Peace. So if you're in the Annapolis area, check the ACT website, actannapolis.org. And Dawn, would you share with us what you have going?
Sure. I'm teaching a Creating a Successful Holistic Health Practice workshop in Sedona on November 14th and 15th. And the website for that is sedonawellness.com to sign up for that. And I have a newsletter, and if you'd like to receive it, it goes out once every other month. You can email me at Reiki Dawn, that's R-E-I-K-I, dawn@yahoo.com, and I'll sign you up for that newsletter. And Jane, I want to thank you so much for sharing today. You've been, I just feel the blessings that you're extending by what you're sharing. So thank you. And
thank you.
Linda, I think you've got something you want to say.
I will say thank you, Jane, from our hearts, and may the angels watch over you, anyone listening to this, guide you, and give you peace. Namaste.
Namaste.